Hola, ¿qué tal, amigos y colegas de Dare to Learn? Bienvenidos a un episodio más de este su podcast. En esta ocasión estamos hablando con Thor Flossason. Sí, tal cual, Thor como el superhéroe. Y vamos a decir que Thor es un superhéroe del aprendizaje. Ahorita van a ver por qué. Thor es un Islander, es de allá de Islandia, y es el Head of Global Talent Management and Learning Operations en PepsiCo. Thor es un apasionado del tema de learning, del tema de diseño instruccional. Tiene amplia experiencia con este tema y construyendo experiencias y estrategias de aprendizaje a nivel ejecutivo y a nivel en diferentes industrias y a diferentes niveles de una organización. Le encanta la tecnología, le encanta el tema de performance first, siempre pensando en el desempeño, el diagrama de Venn entre desempeño, la experiencia del usuario y el aprendizaje. Y ha liderado y sigue liderando muchos equipos de Learning and Development. Esa es su pasión. Ahorita lo van a ver cómo lo platica él. Él tiene un doctorado en psicología con énfasis en desarrollo organizacional y administración de comportamiento de la Universidad de Michigan. Y bueno, su experiencia lo dice todo. Fíjense, desde hace muchos, muchos años Thor se dedica a esto. Un buen de esos años lo pasó en Kellogg's, ¿sí? Donde pasó por ser el líder de la estrategia de aprendizaje en la parte de retail en ventas, y luego pasó a Global Business Services, luego director global de learning, y luego director global senior director, porque de ahí se volvió ahí en estas empresas que tienen muchas posiciones. Thor llegó hasta la más alta en temas de learning and development, y de ahí brincó para PepsiCo, donde ya les dije que hoy pues es el head de toda esta estrategia de talento y aprendizaje a nivel global. ¿De qué hablé con Thor? Hablamos mucho del aprendizaje no formal, de que cómo nos salimos del típico aprendizaje formal y cómo tenemos que darle la vuelta a esto cada vez más en este famoso tema que ya no he escuchado mucho en este podcast, de aprender en el flujo del trabajo. Dice que Thor, que hay algunas cosas que no se pueden aprender en cursos o clases, pero que sí se pueden aprender hablando con otros, interactuando con la gente, equivocándonos o probando hacer cosas nuevas. También habló mucho de la paciencia, eso me gustó muchísimo. Hablamos de cómo ser pacientes y positivos con el aprendizaje, y cómo conectó esto con el tema de la inteligencia artificial. Me encantó. Decía que debemos ir un día a la vez, que no nos debe dar miedo el enorme potencial que tiene la inteligencia artificial, ¿sí? Y debería emocionarnos, pero tenemos que trabajar y experimentar con ella y ser pacientes con esa experimentación y estar muy al pendiente de lo que va a suceder, pero tampoco ansiosos de que venga mañana a destruirnos. Dice que va a transformar la industria y que aprender no debe darnos miedo, debe emocionarnos. Habló de algo que yo no sé, no platicó exactamente de dónde viene esto, pero me encantó porque tiene su propia, digamos, teoría de los componentes de una cultura de aprendizaje. Él dijo que él ha identificado 6 elementos clave para crear una cultura de aprendizaje en una organización, donde habla de los valores, habla del expertise, habla del acceso a las oportunidades, habla del rol de los senior leaders y habla de la importancia del reconocimiento. Por ejemplo, son algunos de los pasos que nos mencionó Thor, y a mí me encantó porque nos dio este framework que me gusta mucho. Pues es como un checklist que podríamos seguir. Obviamente hablamos, pues bueno, de ChatGPT, de otras cosas, del tema de VR, AR y muchas cosas. Como les digo, Thor es apasionado al tema de la intersección entre tecnología, experiencia del usuario y aprendizaje. Qué mejor triada, ¿no? Así que aprendan mucho, así como yo lo aprendí de él. Y pues los dejo con el episodio, con más ni menos que este superhero del aprendizaje, Thor Flossason. Disfrútenlo mucho, aprendan, nunca dejen de aprender, porque esto es Dare to Learn. Hola, ¿qué tal, Learning Explorer? Bienvenido a un episodio más del podcast de Dare to Learn. Si ya nos conoces, qué gusto que estés de vuelta. Y para los que no nos conocen, en Dare to Learn nos especializamos en ayudar a otros a desarrollar habilidades y capacidades para vibrar en el futuro del trabajo que ya es presente. Con más de 10 años de experiencia y decenas de clientes, somos el home número 1 en aprendizaje en América Latina y estamos seguros que tenemos algo para ofrecerte a ti y a tu organización, sobre todo en temas relacionados con Learning Agility, Performance y Liderazgo. Date una vuelta por nuestra página www.daretolearn.com.mx y conoce todo lo que tenemos que ofrecerte a ti y a tu organización. También te invito a seguirme en redes sociales, donde constantemente subo contenido de valor, tips y hacks que te pueden ayudar. Búscame como Diego Lainez o Diego Lainez Jameson, y recuerda, atrévete a aprender, porque esto es Dare to Learn. Hello, everyone. Welcome to one more episode of the Dare to Learn podcast. I'm very excited here to have a great guest today, Mr. Thor Flosa song. Let me know if I pronounce it right.
You got it. Flosa song. Yep.
All right. That's great. That's great. And he's right up there in Michigan. And we're going to have a great conversation about learning, which is what we talk about here. But I'm pretty sure it's going to take interesting ways. So I'm going to start with the question I start with every guest, Thor. That is, what is something about learning that now that you have years in this, that is clear to you, but you believe it's not so clear to other people?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind, a couple of things. So I think for a lot of people, learning, where they hear the term, they immediately think about something that's formal. You know, it's kind of the education. Learning is something I do and through courses, through schools, through some formal interactions, through maybe sports and coaching, right? Learning is breathing in a way, because it happens constantly, right? And the thing is, we don't always realize it. Mm-hmm. So when we think about, and I reflect on my personal experience, what has gotten me to where I am today, helped grow me professionally, I cannot name one course. I can not name on it like, oh, that was like, oh, yes. Yes, you gather those, gather pieces, gather information. And ultimately, yes, that builds your repertoire, your capabilities. But a lot of it is just what happens in your daily interactions, in conversations, in making mistakes, in running into people, running into opportunities, and then you work your way through it. You're not like, oh, I'm learning now. It happens. And you walk away from that like, I've learned something. So I think one thing is that people think it's not that necessarily like a formal, planned, detailed activity with all the objectives and assessments. And yes, that helps facilitate the process and absolutely a core component, especially when we're talking about formal education for people getting prepared for something. But when we think about learning a little bit more generally, and really what I would like to see in organizations more is that, you know, that magical phrase or aspirational phrase like learning culture, that is what that is. Learning culture is not you have 80,000 courses available, right? Or you have all these programs and you have all these leadership academies and all that. That's not what it is. Maybe it's a component of it. Yeah. So that's a long-winded answer to what I think is it's everywhere, it's every day, it's happens.
And do you think it will make a difference if people start realizing or calling that learning? Will that make a difference, or just gonna be okay? Whatever.
I don't know. That's a very good question. I don't know. I don't think it's really important necessarily for people, but that's kind of more of what people are calling it. Maybe not. And when we're in this L&D industry, we're in organizations, and maybe it becomes a thing when we're looking for funding and we're looking at building strategies. I think it's important for folks in our profession is to think more broadly, right? The learner, the folks, I mean, it's not so important, but I think as we strategize and like, okay, we're gonna change something, we're gonna build something, we're gonna facilitate new skill building, you know, breaking the mold of going immediately to the content, going immediately to, ooh, my objectives. What are the other levers you pull on? That's how I would put it.
That's great. That's great. Yes, it's more relevant for us as a professionals in L&D to know that than to the learner. I love that. That was very, very interesting. And then I think you're nailing to something, because we want this conversation to be on topic for L&D colleagues. And I think that's a good one. And I love the part of funding. I mean, if learning is everything, then you get more chances to get funding for a lot of things. I love that. And what are you seeing? What are you foreseeing in the near future? It's going to be the most impactful change for learning in the next 2-3 years in organizations.
Yeah, I think I hate to throw out a buzzword or probably whatever it's in everybody's mind, but I would say AI, right? Yeah. I think that's really going to, right now, it's one of those things that's really going to transform, you know, because we're tapping into something that's going to just grow exponentially in terms of what it does, right? If I log into my work environment in the morning, right, whether it's I go to the office or I'm on my laptop, you're going to have stuff that really facilitates, you know, that ongoing learning. And again, that's kind of the embedded learning, all, you know, throughout your day, prompts, reminders, connections, helping you. If you're not skilled in something, but you need to deliver something, you're going to have a chat something, and AI think like, hey, I need to put together a business case or a proposal or a project plan for something that I'm like, never done this before. If that thing, that tool, that magical gadget can tap into the right data sources, the tool can do it for me. So I look at it, right? I don't know it. I don't have the skill, but now I have an environment that helps me. And that's what a lot of when we talk about learning and memorizing things, like, do you, Diego, do you remember a single phone number besides yourselves?
Exactly. No, that's true.
When we were growing up, we learned and memorized and all this stuff. Now we're starting to outsource a lot of that. So we might be focusing on more things that are, let's call them strategic or creative. We can have the environment help us kind of, not I wouldn't say learn, but do some of the things we would have to learn.
Yes.
So I think that's probably one of the biggest changes that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and to put this in context, we are in the middle of March of 2023, and it's so hot right now, this thing. And I was chatting yesterday with a friend and telling, I'm talking always about dare to learn, you need to learn. And I need to recognize that I'm a little bit scared. I'm always saying, don't be scared for learning. I mean, change because of the motivation of it and the thrill of learning. But I'm also aware of my own humanity about, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm actually been talking about this for 6 years, and now it feels so real. Yesterday, Google released the new workspace thing that they're going to do with AI. And it's honestly, it's a scary, I think it's a very on the edge between a scary and excitement, but yes. I don't know which way it's one day at a time, right?
Exactly. It is very scary. I think that's exactly, I described it exactly the same way to someone recently. It's exciting and scary at the same time, because there's a lot of unknowns, right? What's going to happen? How fast, am I going to be relevant as an employee, how is this going to play out? Do we really need all these dedicated resources to do certain things? If it's like type it into something or it picks up data and then it automatically delivers what's needed. So exciting, for people like us in L&D is how do we leverage that? How do we tap into that? And how do we start to experiment and explore and play with it? Right. So,
That's true. That's right. And we need to start playing with it more. And I mean, there are so many things happening right now. It's just being near the water so we can spark a little bit of that water. It's important. So yes, I do think I'm very on the same line that you are. A little bit of your story with learning, because the folks already heard about your professional career. But what about your milestones? Maybe talking about this big milestone that we are living right now as a learning and as a humanity, that it's AI. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your big milestones, and if that you can relate those to learning moments?
Personal milestones going back, like where
For example, myself, I changed careers when I was 25. That was a learning moment, a humbling moment, and it changed my life 13 years ago. I'm now a learning and development specialist, which I was finance marketing, and I recognize that as a very important learning moment for me. But there are others, but not necessarily related to learning. In this one, I really had to learn from scratch a lot of things. And I don't know if you have experienced that kind of things in the past.
Yeah. So I think go way back. My parents are both teachers. Maybe that has something to do with where we are today. Who knows? But obviously, that learning teaching thing has always been kind of in my immediate environment. So I think that's a milestone experience way back, and then that it's always been kind of stuck with me is providing instructions and guidance maybe to others, and that's obviously started more with traditional like reading, writing type stuff, right? But I really got interested in that, and early on, and before I made the switch to kind of corporate learning, I did behavioral therapy. I've shared this in other forums, but I did behavioral therapy for kids, right, with challenges, whether learning difficulties or autism or behavioral problems. Wow. And that was really what technically, to some extent, I do today with a different audience. So you have somebody who needs to do something or learn something or adjust or change to whatever that is. And okay, what? How do we do that? How do we help that person learn that new skill? How do we facilitate that process? So I did that for some time while still, you know, and going to university and kind of try to figure out what's my longer term goal. And I kind of probably going to go into that kind of industry or area of doing, you know, providing therapy or working with kids. But I realized at some point it's probably not financially sustainable, and it's probably not one where I have a lot of opportunities to go into different areas and things like that. So it's some barriers for me to be able to do this long term. So I made the switch, and like I still want to do this learning stuff, but I want to do it maybe in a different context that I might have more opportunities. So I moved to the US to go to grad school, so get formal education, learn like a lot, so we'll be better prepared to take on a challenge. So I really got more and more into that and found the ways, like, yeah, the organizations are doing a lot of this through L&D and other programs, as there's a role for me somewhere, right? So that got me into that. You know, I did research around education. I did my thesis and doctoral dissertation on instructional methods. So really got deep in the weeds on that. But, you know, having then the opportunity to join an organization to do, you know, instructional design work, and then it was managing processes, and that just gradually it grew where I saw there's a play here. There's an appetite need for what I do, and I am equipping other people to do their jobs and do it better maybe, or open doors for them. So that starts to be really, really rewarding. So I think that kind of bounced me into this space, and I've just been able to and fortunate enough to have had opportunities to take on new roles, to take risks, right? I've definitely said yes to things that, you know, maybe the better, or at the time, like, no, I should have said no to this, but I've really learned that risk taking is good. It's going to benefit you, even though it can be difficult in the short term.
That's great.
Taking on a big role, or a role that you don't probably know, you're not an expert in, but yeah, I can do it. I can learn. I can make this work. So
yeah. Growth mindset.
Yep. There you go.
That's great. All right. Yeah. Now, how long is your career on learning and development, corporate learning and development? How long have you been on this?
I would say it's probably been anywhere from 15, 17 years-ish where I really got into that. Now I was doing some when I was in grad school. I did some project work with a couple of pharmaceutical companies. So I was starting to dabble, but I was like formally in that environment, probably 15, 17, 18 years, right. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
That's great. Thanks. And we're going to try to distill some of that knowledge in the next 30 minutes. And it's
all right,
great. Cool. So jumping right into it, into the learning and development corporate world, what do you think are the trends, apart from AI that we have already more or less discussed, that are shaping or will shape in the near future the way people learn, and especially, of course, in the corporate world, but maybe a little bit further than that?
Yeah, I think it's having work and learning collide more or merge into one another.
Right.
And that's, again, I'm using another kind of really a common term now, which is kind of the workflow learning flow work. I mean, that's not new, but I think that is really where we need to be able to optimize when and how learning happens.
Mm.
So when you think about something and kind of, you know, here's a, you know, relevance. A lot of times when we do go through more formal, like I'm going to go through this leadership development program or this learning about negotiation or learning about this and that, sometimes that happens a little bit out of context. And what I mean by that is either far removed from when you're actually going to be able to apply this, or you don't have sufficient kind of contextual cues from the environment to be able to really make the most out of what you learned. So, for example, if I'm in marketing or I'm in procurement, I'm going to go and learn about negotiation. I go off to this fancy university or a fancy organization to learn about negotiation. Yes, I have a foundational skill set now on how to negotiate. Being able to then transfer that into negotiating in the context of my work with my customers, my stakeholders, that's a whole nother learning. And that's where a lot of times we see gaps.
Yeah.
Right. We've had, and this is really the at the core of L&D, right? The gap sometimes between declarative knowledge and procedural knowledge. People know about the process, they describe it, and I can talk about how you should do coaching, but can I do coaching at the moment? Two very different skill sets, knowing about and being able to do. So I think long answer to my point of, you know, bringing learning closer to the application, right? I'm really a fan of some work being done, Bob Mosher and Conrad Gottfredson on the five moments of learning needs, right? So it's there. That's my point here is not have this, all this content, all this activity, but you're moving it closer to the moment of apply is what that is, right? So it's how do you pull that into your day-to-day? You're not stopping, pivoting, going and learning, and then coming back and try to apply it. It's really, and I'm not saying we have all the answers with how to do it, but I think there is definitely a need or a push towards that.
Yeah, and AI is going to help too, of course.
Absolutely, bingo. That's going to allow that to happen when I'm in again my whether I'm in a factory working with machines or I'm in my office doing work on the computer. Those AI things will happen and will help. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I think you nail it on the learning the flow of work, and I think we need to do more of that. I was thinking when you were explaining the two kind of knowledge that you need to actually make it work. I just recently interviewed Ben Nelson, who is the dean of Minerva University. Have you heard about Minerva?
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling something very similar about critical thinking, about you need to make people experience a dozen of different situations where they apply that skill so they can say they learned it. I mean, you need different scenarios. You need them to think of it from different angles. And that goes to the more than just understanding, to applying, to say that you have the skill. So I make the connection there. It was a very interesting conversation. And I think these guys at Minerva are trying to do that specifically, you know, and he talks a lot about that. So yeah, I think that I'm seeing a trend there on developing the skill to do more than this, the knowledge or procedural knowledge. I love it. And what are you seeing, or are you seeing anything on VR?
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually in the process of doing something at PepsiCo with VR. How do we convert, you know, existing processes or learning experiences into something more engaging? Now, there has to be the right fit, right? Because with VR, there's obviously the shiny object kind of thing there, and excitement and the coolness, like wow factor, right? Like put it on and you might walk away with like, that was mind blowing. But then again, if we think critically about like, well, did that do anything more, or did you learn anything more than from reading a one-page document, right? That's ultimately going to be the thing. So what you have in a VR is you have a lot of the additional cues, and you need to be making different decisions. You're really getting, you're being brought closer to an application, right? You're let's say you're learning how to run a packaging machine, right? You need to be looking at all the things around you on the panels and the buttons and interact with it. So now your VR allows you to do that more in a more realistic setting. So I think there is some good data on it, is when applied appropriately to the right use cases, it can really have a benefit. But if it's something like, hey, we could have it just as a regular video, and if you're communicating a message, there's no need for the 3D all around kind of thing, you can do it. So I think it's great and exciting, and that's why we're thrilled to be exploring more with this and how can we scale it, because there are definitely solid use cases where it can help with, whether it's on the safety front, on processes, on equipment, on even people, you know, leadership. So there's a lot there. So I'm excited. That's another big, and it's not brand new. It's been around for a long time, but as technology, hardware, software gets better, it's just going to help with that and getting that established as a core way of delivering training.
I love it. And keep us posted on what you guys are going to do in PepsiCo. That will be amazing to hear and to follow. It will be for sure something exciting.
Yeah.
And something that I know you like, and it's also a trend, but and it's a fancy word right now, or a trend right now, but it's more than that. It's about analytics, right? What do you think about analytics? Where are we heading to, or why is being, from my point of view, it has taken so long to become real? Maybe more or less like VR. Yeah. Some companies are really doing it, but I think I will have expect 5 or 6 weeks ago when I was starting these conversations and interviews, we were already talking about analytics, and I don't think it has become mainstream yet. But what you guys are doing? What do you know about that?
Yeah, so we're definitely making strides in that, and really really exciting. What has probably prevented organizations from doing what they're doing now and will be doing in the future is just access to all the data and the sophistication in collecting and organizing and then running some analytics and getting really the insights. Because yes, we've had data for the longest time, but yeah, then they may not have been accessible or in a format or captured in a way that they're useful, right? So data is one thing. Useful data that will give you insights is a whole nother. So I think we've made huge strides with AI is again a big player there, but just tools and I would say sophistication and what we do with data and what we can glean from large data sets being funneled in from all a ton of different sources. So when we talked about analytics, people, let's say calling people analytics, 10 years ago or 15, 20 years ago, you would go to your HR system, right, to pull out like some retention data and some of those maybe engagement data and then run some correlations, and you have limited data sets. But now, as you can tap into you have learning data, you have performance data, you have external data from their business, sales data and all that. Mm-hmm. Now you start to aggregate everything, and that's going to unlock a whole new set of insights. So I think we have now the computing power, the more capabilities to do true analytics beyond like tracking numbers and like, yeah, oh, there's a bigger number this year than last year. That's good, right? But really getting to that next level. I'm not a learning or not an analytics expert, but I am a consumer of analytics, and I realize the value. And I sometimes get very also, hopefully in the right way, skeptical on if I get some insights in from data that is not, the source is not real, right? So you always have to think about, okay, where's this data? Where's this insight coming from? Tell me more about the sources. How was that captured originally, right? So you have to be a bit of as a consumer of data, is to you put on your research hat. You put on your empirical hat, like, okay, what is this telling me? And is this something that I can put my trust in? So, but we're getting very good at that.
That's good. And I want to ask you something, because everybody, it's always something that people they push on through. And why didn't you ask some specifics vendors? So I don't know if you can talk about, because we already talked about AI, VR, and analytics. And I don't know if you can talk about some vendors or tools that you guys are using, because that's always a question from the public, from the audience.
Yeah, so we do. I'm not sure if I can list off, or it would be appropriate to list off any vendors. I mean, there are some good vendors. Are you more asking on the data side, or more like in the technology?
Yeah, for example, the thing that you're gonna do with VR, is that with Oculus? Are you dealing with people directly, or?
Yeah, in that case, we are partnering. We're partnering with a company called Striver to build out some of those. So they have very a robust process and setup for how they can create, deploy, and scale VR learning experiences. So that's it. We're testing out the solutions. We're testing out, see what the potential is. So that's one. Yeah, we get a lot of obviously emails and phone calls and have conversations. And the thing with technology, it's so rapidly changing and moving. And I mean, there's when you look one way and you look back and like, oh, here's another 200 vendors doing LXP, or they're doing analytics and all that. So it's hard to keep up. Now, what we're trying to do obviously is to have the right combination of technologies, right? Less is more. We want to optimize and make sure that it's not an overkill. We're meeting a need. Like, what does a business and what do the people need? Let's make sure we have something that delivers to them. So yeah, I think the strategy is
on the data side, analytics. Do you have, because I know at least from one company that I follow that it's cool. It's at least I have never used them, but I know they are very specific about HR analytics, which is Watershed. I know, but I don't know if you guys have something like that.
We are using Vizier, which is our data visualization analytics tool. So we're in process of getting that stood up and implemented for multiple for HR and people data. So that's That's a lot of fun when you start to look into those platforms to see things like, wow, there's no way that I would just look at the data set and try to run my own and differences. Really, really exciting to be able to then leverage that for decision making and insights. So
that's cool. Yeah, there's no Excel file that can do that.
Not really.
That's great. That's great. Okay, so do you have any benchmarks about learning culture or what that you guys are doing to, you mentioned learning culture. I think we have more or less covered it, but do you have recommendations for other L&D leaders or things that you are seeing in other companies? I'm pretty sure you've been around that you can talk about, maybe some specific examples to inspire others.
Absolutely. So one that I have my kind of own, and this is not mine, right? I've just gathered up over a long time. There are like six kind of elements or components that make up learning culture, right? So I can go quickly through the way, and this is again my version, but not mine because I've been pulling and borrowing from others. So it's, you know, one thing, if you're learning culture, you have a learning strategy or approach or an environment that you've created within the company that is really matching up against where the company's going. So it's a good old linking your learning efforts and strategy to where you're going as a business. So that's the one if you want to create a learning culture at a company. So it has to be connected. It can't be fragmented, decoupled from that.
Good.
The second one is, you know, the emphasis that the organization places on learning, on continuous learning. It's really part of their core values, right? And they're intentional about it. So it's they talk about it. It's very explicitly stated that, yeah, this is part of how we run the business. You know, learning is part of it. That's not so strategy, the values. The third one is really there has to be internal expertise or capability, you know, with leaders on how do you build learning strategies? How do you make sure you're mapping things appropriately with processes, with technology, with resources, with data? How do you make an impact? So you need that knowledge and expertise. So strategy, value, expertise.
You mean expertise from leaders across functions or L&D leaders, you're meaning?
Somewhere in the organization, there has to be an entity, a people, team, somebody who can facilitate that process across leaders, right? So yeah, you need to have that. Let's call it, for the sake of this definition, like L&D expertise somewhere in the organization that can be scaled or activated across, right?
Yeah.
The fourth one is really access. So do people generally have access to opportunities to learn, right? Whether they're formal or informal, there's mentoring, there's coaching, there are courses. So that's one. There's broadly accessible. The second to last one is, and that goes back to something, you know, a little bit of what I talked about earlier is senior leaders, they are actively involved in creating and promoting that learning culture, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, by through role modeling to what they talk about, what they promote, what they advocate for, all those things. So, and the last one is for learning culture, there is some sort of recognition or feedback or incentive or something that the people get for, you know, for their efforts. And there is like, wow, you put in a lot of effort, you've learned, like what's that feedback mechanism? What's that recognition mechanism for that? So it's again, strategy, the value, the expertise, access, executives or leadership on that, and then recognition, reward. So those are the components I typically use when I'm like, do we have active learning culture? And this kind of almost like a mental checklist that like, oh, we need to do more with, we're saying we have a learning culture, but nobody has access to our learning. That's okay. We need to work on that. So.
That's great.
Hopefully that makes sense.
No, yeah. It was amazing. And I think I don't remember exactly, for example, the Amazon values or the Amazon, I think there are 9 leadership behaviors. And I remember one of those is kind of very related to learning, for example, or Microsoft with Satya Nadella, that we are the learn-it-alls. And I was trying to think on examples that we all know about how they actually put their money where their mouth is or something like that. I mean, this part of the senior executives, I know is everyone in every function want to have that in the executive's mind. But I think, if we want to aspire to a learning culture, It has to be role model. So I love that fifth element. So and everyone, all of those. Do you believe that? Well, how do you believe that we should evolve on the let's say what is urgent for us to evolve in the L&D function?
So in a rapidly evolving environment, we need to evolve with it, right? Because businesses don't stay the same. We can't stay the same. So that's as a fundamental premise. Yes, we need to evolve. I think we need to evolve as and continue to evolve, because I think we are, as a profession, good at this in many cases, but evolve with the business. So you're there to support, to activate, to facilitate, to coach, to mentor, to guide. So I think that evolution of what we do is it has to be that we have to be connected, and we need to move with the business. We need to be try to get ahead of the curve where there are big things externally changing that it's not learning related, but they're business related. That's going to change how we operate, how what the business models are, how we resource, how we hire. So all of those things, evolution. It's like what I would say is we need to be continuous learners, those helps. And through that is asking the right questions, being curious, being critical thinkers. But at the end of the day, we always have to be anchored in where the business is going and evolve with them. Evolution will become important in terms of, I think people need to be more savvy with data, right? I think we all need to be experts. Mm-hmm. Well, not an expert, data and technology, right? I think that's if you look at all the different roles in L&D, you have like the strategic leaders, you have the instructional designers, you have the communication folks, you have the technology platform people. Like what needs to cut across those, they all need to be super good with leveraging data, because in their roles, they're all looking at numbers and insights to make better decisions on what they do in their respective areas. And they all need to understand how technology can tie things together and make it more efficient. So while with business and look at technology and data, those are some of the takeaways.
That's great. Yeah, business, technology, data. I think that's a good combo, very good combo to focus on. I think you nailed it on the business acumen part. I mean, we are normally, I think HR as a function is stigmatized as our not business closeness, and we need to bridge that gap. And I do think we are in a great moment to do it. After COVID and everything, we have a chance.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think we think we most more or less cover everything. I know I have a couple of more questions, but I don't want to be repetitive. But do you think there's something else we should cover? Maybe on the role of each individual, because we have talked senior leaders, we have talked L&D. So what about for the rest of the non L&Ds and the non top execs? What can we tell them, or what do you want to tell them about learning and the future of work?
Yeah, I think it's just reinforcing the messages that are definitely coming out through all different channels. And it's coming from, it's coming from even in the U.S., you know, President Biden was even talking about the importance of skills. He was like, okay, diplomas, you know, formal education, degrees is not everything. Skills is the thing. So we're hearing something like this coming from different directions, from various sources. So I think there's already a lot of messaging around, hey, we you know, regardless of where you are, you need to be paying close attention to the world around you, right? If you it's not like, oh, it's you must, I mean, otherwise you, everything's gonna be horrible. Not, of course, you can stay the course, but if people are gonna, if they're interested in and have ambitions to venture into new areas or make sure that they stay relevant, I think that they absolutely have to pay close attention to how requirements are changing from them in terms of what they know and what they can do. What are their skill sets? Will I be, and I'm looking at me like personally, if I have the same skills I have today, would I be marketable in 10 years? Probably not. A lot of things will change from now until 10 years from now. And if I don't, as an L&D professional, don't keep up, I'll be a dinosaur. I won't be relevant anymore, right? I think that's for everyone. It's just understanding, and it's not like the hitting the panic button, like, oh, go and learn stuff. No, it's just be self-aware, know where you're going and know that there are resources out there for you if you want to pursue. For most people, right? It's I'm not saying everybody has equal access, but in for example, at PepsiCo, we have a great environment to learn and explore and pursue career opportunities.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And I think even 10 years may be too long. I hope not.
I mean, like 5 years, 2-3 years. I don't know. That's the scary part, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the scary part. But yeah, we need to transform the feeling of being scared to the feeling of being excited. It's hard, but we as L&D need to promote it, definitely. And yeah, I love it. I love it. And know where you're going to. Know that you need to keep on walking and go for it. And yeah, let's meet in the middle with us, right? With the
other. Yeah.
So a couple of closing questions, Thor. Maybe you already covered this, but let's jump into it. If I ask you, how do you learn? How do you actually, behind the curtains of the corporate world, what do you do to learn yourself? I mean, what are your tricks?
Yeah. I'm curious, and sometimes I get easily distracted, right? I see a book on Amazon, I buy the book, and I read the book, and I see that in some areas I'm trying to stay thoughtful and planful, like I need to get better in that. I do that, but I chase a lot of interesting ideas and try to study up on them, whether it's again reading a book, doing online. Other things is, and especially when we talk about learning about like actually doing something, I do play instruments. I play drums. So I really, you know, how I learn is I see somebody model something and then I try it out and I try to build fluency on that. So it's, you know, when it comes to skills, so how I learn, how I collect just knowledge or how I actually build through skills. Mm. The skills I try to just, you know, try things out. So for example, recently I remodeled my kitchen. I did everything myself, right? I'd never done that before. I just did my, you know, exploration on YouTube and bought some tools and, okay, I asked some people and I just understood what I had to do. And then I went out and figured out how to do it. And then I did it. And then I just, made a mistake. I'll fix it and do it again. So it is really a combination of how I learn is I'm curious. I go after ideas and explore. But then I also like try to really do and learn an actual skill, such as putting up a new kitchen.
How is it? You like it?
I'm thrilled. My wife is thrilled. So it came out nicely.
Yeah. The second opinion is more important than your wife.
Yeah. So I have, if I want to do a, you know, you asked me in the beginning here, my milestones and transition, I become a contractor here down the road at some point.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe
putting up kitchens or contractor, right? Who knows?
Maybe we're on the verge of a milestone for you. Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. So you have a what's next to you? What's coming up in the next months for you and PepsiCo and your professional journey?
Yeah. We continue to build out exciting things. We're building new capabilities and make sure we have what it takes internally to be able to provide kind of learning as a service to the business. So having a like an almost like an internal learning factory with end-to-end support for what the organization may need. So it's a longer term initiative, but we're making some meaningful progress this year.
Love the learning as a service thing. I think I never heard it like quite like that. That's cool. I'm stealing that. Yeah. All right. And some recommendations that you have, maybe some podcasts, books, apps, what do you like to recommend to the folks?
I'm not yet. I need to get more. I've dabbled in podcasts. I'm not like I sometimes somebody sends me it, but I'm more of I like to sit down and read books. I'm reading a book right now called Deep Work. I think it's called Deep Work.
From Cal Newport.
Yeah. There you go.
Love that guy.
Yeah. So I'm really because I you got it on your shelf somewhere.
I was here somewhere. Yeah.
I'm going through that right now because that's something I really, because I, in my role and many of us, we get pulled into many different directions. And a lot of it's like, why, like I'm doing, I need to free up, have had space and really dive deep. That's another one. I'm also reading, Nudge. I mean, that's it's been around for a long time. A couple of economics.
That's cool.
Near area of economics, but so those are a couple that are on my nightstand right now.
Nice. Do you watch movies or TV shows that you like to recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Not as much as I used to. So I haven't watched TV shows for like a long time, but I family, we're going to have movie night tonight, and my boys have yet to watch The Big Lebowski, so it's time for them to see that one. We're going to see, hopefully at some point, the Indian movie RRR that got some recognition at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a watching movies than TV shows, because what I find with TV shows is commitment. Like, oh, it's a series. I need to like spend. So, but when they're good ones, you know, my favorite of all times is Breaking Bad. I mean, that sucks you in, and that's a long commitment.
It's a long commitment,
worth every minute. So. Yeah. When those come along, I do tend to lean in, but I'm not a big movie or not big TV series
That's watcher. Cool. Yeah. No, I love it. I love your recommendation. I need to recommend back this one. I mean, this is the, because it's from Cole Newport. It's also Be So Good They Can't Ignore You.
Yeah. I heard about this one. Yeah. I'll check that one out. Yeah.
The subtitle is cool for this conversation. Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love? I mean, this guy, I love it.
There you go.
I think, yeah, very, very on point, and you will enjoy a lot, and probably you are already. And thanks for the recommendations on the movies. Yeah, Big Lebowski, great milestone. So let's see what your boys think about it. Yeah. So thank you very much, Thor. It was a pleasure. I'm really thrilled to learn and to hear what you guys are doing, what you are doing. And I'm pretty sure, I hope we're gonna meet again soon. And absolutely. I wish you well, and have a great day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the conversation.
Muchas gracias por acompañarnos en un episodio más del Dare to Learn podcast. Estoy seguro que como yo debes haber encontrado mucha sabiduría y muchos insights y cosas interesantes en lo que nos compartió nuestro invitado de hoy. Te quiero pedir un favor para que seamos más la comunidad de Learning Explorers, para que seamos más los que estamos en ese camino del aprendizaje continuo. Comparte lo que hayas aprendido, ayúdanos a que esto le llegue a más personas, compartiéndolo con alguien que le pueda servir. Compártelo en tus redes, compártelo en las nuestras, coméntanos. Nos encantará saber qué es lo que estás aprendiendo y poder tener una conversación ahí. Eso es lo que hace que este podcast gane tracción y que cada vez seamos más los convencidos del poder del aprendizaje, los que no dejamos de aprender todo el tiempo. Te pido que si puedes, nos des un like o un review de 5 estrellas en las redes o directamente donde escuches tus podcasts. En Instagram nos encuentras como Dare to Learn MX y el resto de las redes como Dare to Learn con número 2. Y a mí particularmente, si hay algo que quisieras decirme, estoy como diego@daretolearn.com.mx o nos puedes contactar por correo escribiéndonos a podcast@daretolearn.com.mx. Nos encantará saber más de ti y tener una conversación directamente contigo. Muchísimas gracias, como siempre, por atreverte a aprender, y nos vemos pronto. Dare to Learn.